Reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, the older NIV version. Dear listening friends, it's Monday, it's February 16, 2015. Prepare to be blessed as Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, addresses the topic, Why and How Do I Pray? This topic will be broken into two parts today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, and once broadcast, both will be archived at greatnewsradio.org. Thank you for listening to this segment from an Alpha Talk, and this is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find out about an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast on Great News Radio, produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Here's Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course.
It's an interesting fact to me that in Britain, which is a predominantly secular society, and rather skeptical at that, surveys have shown that 75% of the people pray at least once a week. I don't know what sort of prayers that those are, but I know the kind of prayers that I prayed before I was a Christian. There were basically two types of prayer. One was the kind of formula prayer. My grandmother taught me a little prayer, although she wasn't a churchgoer when I was a child. It went like something like this: God bless mummy and daddy and granny and one or two others. And it ended, make me a good boy. Amen. And I prayed that right into my teens. It's rather sad, actually. But it was really a superstition. It was, you know, I didn't think I might not sleep if I ate this prayer tonight. The other type of prayer that I prayed was a kind of emergency prayer, a prayer in a crisis. If everything else had failed, then I would cry out to God. I heard about an atheist, a total unbeliever, who fell over a cliff. And as he fell over a cliff, he managed to grab hold of a tuft of grass. And he was just literally dangling 250 foot above rocks. And although he was an unbeliever, an atheist, he cried out to God. He said, "Oh God, if you're up there, help me." And to his amazement, he heard this voice saying, "I am here. Let go of the tuft of grass and trust me." And he thought about it for a moment. He looked down and then he said, "Is there anybody else up there?" Now, those were the kinds of prayers that I prayed before I was a Christian. The question I want to ask tonight is, what is Christian prayer? Christian prayer is the most important activity of our lives. It's the very purpose for which you and I were created. That is, to be in a relationship with the God who made us. Would you like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18? St. Paul writes this: "For through him," that is Jesus Christ, "we both," that's Jews and Gentiles, the whole known world, "have access to the Father by one Spirit." First of all, Christian prayer is to the Father. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." And in that expression, we have this extraordinary combination of what the theologians would call the transcendence and the immanence of God. First of all, the transcendence. In heaven, the greatness of God. When we pray, we are speaking to the creator of this entire universe. Do you know that our sun, S-U-N, is one of 100,000 million stars in our galaxy. And our galaxy is one of 100,000 million galaxies. I read somewhere that for every grain of sand on the beach, there are a million stars. And in a throwaway line in the book of Genesis, the writer says, he made the stars also. Just like that. Billions and billions of stars. That's the transcendence of God in heaven. But this is the amazing thing. He's also our Father. He's imminent. He's right here now. And the extraordinary thing is that we can have a relationship with him which is like a parent with a child. And Jesus called God Abba, which is an Aramaic word which is left in its original because it's virtually untranslatable. It means something like daddy or dear father. And Jesus said we could have the same kind of relationship with him that Jesus had, that intimacy, that closeness. So Christian prayer is to the Father who loves us intimately. Second thing is, it's through the Son. I read of something that happened during the American Civil War. As a result of a family tragedy, a soldier had been given permission to have a hearing with the president because he wanted to request exemption from military service. However, when he arrived at the White House, he was refused entry and he was sent away, and he went to sit in a nearby park. And as he was sitting in this park, a young boy came across to him and just remarked about how unhappy he looked. And the soldier found himself pouring out his heart to this young guy. And eventually the boy said, look, come with me. And the dejected soldier went back to the White House. They went round the back. None of the guards seemed to stop them. Even the generals and the high-ranking government officials stood to attention and let them pass through. And the soldier was amazed. Finally, they came to the presidential office without knocking. They went into the West Wing. The young boy opened the door of the Oval Office, walked straight in, and there was Abraham Lincoln, standing there in conversation with the Secretary of State. And the moment they walked in, Abraham Lincoln turned to the boy and he said, Todd, what can I do for you? And Todd said, Dad, this soldier needs to talk to you. He had access through the Son. And that's what Paul says, is we have access to God through the Son. Through Jesus. Jesus takes us into the presence of Almighty God. And although we have no right of ourselves to go into God's presence, through Jesus, through what he's done for us on the cross, through the blood of Jesus, we have access to the Father. So Christian prayer is to the Father through the Son by one Spirit. Sometimes people say, I really wouldn't know how to pray. And that's what Paul says. St. Paul says, he says, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And that's why the weekend is always so exciting, because the weekend is all about the Holy Spirit, who comes to live within us. And when the Holy Spirit is living within us, he helps us to pray. So when we pray, the whole Trinity is involved, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so exciting. So why should we pray? Would you like to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6? Jesus says this. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Why should we pray? First of all, because Jesus prayed. And he taught us to do the same. He doesn't start here by saying, if you pray, but he says, when you pray. He assumes that we will pray. In a way, it's very natural for human beings to pray. We were created for this relationship. And then because it's how we develop a relationship with God. All relationships are based on communication. Many marriages break down because of lack of communication. Families sometimes break down through lack of communication. But with good communication, the relationship grows and flourishes. And it's this relationship with God for which we are created. And in this relationship, we find the very meaning and purpose of our lives. And then Jesus says, when we pray, God will reward us. Sometimes people say, well, isn't that inappropriate to sort of be looking for a reward? Well, of course, there are inappropriate rewards. Money for sex is an inappropriate reward. But there are also appropriate rewards. If somebody's working hard for their exams, passing them, getting a qualification, is an appropriate reward. If two people are in love, marriage is a kind of fulfillment and reward for love. C.S. Lewis put it like this: the proper rewards are not simply tacked on to the activity for which they're given, but are the activity itself in consummation. So what are the rewards of prayer? When we pray, we begin to experience God's love for us, His presence with us. We begin to experience joy. So many people are looking for joy in all kinds of areas, and often when they get there, it doesn't satisfy. It leaves people feeling empty. But the psalmist says, in his presence, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So often we go around carrying guilt and anxiety and fear. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we pray, this thirst that we all have, spiritual thirst, is satisfied. The spiritual hunger is met. But prayer not only changes us, it also changes situations. I don't think it's possible to prove to a cynic or a skeptic that there is a God through giving lots and lots of illustrations of answered prayer. But I have found it amazing to see the way in which God answers prayer. I remember when I first come to faith in Christ, I thought, this prayer thing, maybe I'll give it a go. So it just so happened that I was at university and I needed to get a lift to London. I had a party I was going to, and I think it was a train strike or something. And so I thought, I'll try. So I just prayed a very quick prayer. I said, Lord, please could I have a lift to London? A few minutes later, there was a knock at the door. Someone said, oh, hello, Nikki, do you want a lift to London? I thought, that's funny. Must be a coincidence. But I thought, well, I'll try something else. These are all just trivial things. But the next thing I tried, I thought, well, I'll try something a little less trivial. I'll try praying for my mother. I knew that she had a problem sleeping. And she'd suffered from insomnia for a very long time. And so I started to pray for her. I didn't tell her I was praying, but I started to pray. For a week, I prayed for her to sleep well. And at the end of the week, I said, how are you sleeping? She said, you know, it's amazing. I've slept so well for the last week. I thought, that's funny. And as I've gone through now, I guess it's over 3 decades of praying and writing down prayers in a kind of prayer diary and going back over them and ticking them when they're answered. The cumulative effect of all those answered prayer leads me to believe that prayer does actually change situations. So does God always answer prayer? I believe the answer is yes. But we don't always get what we want. For a start, God can't act in a way that's inconsistent with his nature. In other words, you can't pray that 2 + 2 will equal anything other than 4. Because it can't. That's a mathematical system that is set up, and that's how it works. We all have sympathy, I think, with the small boy's desperate and doomed prayer emerging from the geography exam, praying, oh, dear God, please make Paris the capital of Turkey. It can't work. But also, the New Testament tells us that there are some things that can stop our prayers being effective. For example, unconfessed sin, things that are wrong in our life, can cause a barrier between us and God. Don't misunderstand me. Of course, Jesus is the friend of sinners. All of us have things that are wrong in our life. And if that stopped us praying, none of us would be able to pray. But Jesus on the cross died for us so that we could be totally forgiven. But if we choose to reject that and wander off, like the prodigal son, away from the father's house, then we're no longer in that relationship. Or if we plan to set out on a course of rebellion against God, the psalmist said, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. Or if we have sort of totally wrong motives for what we're asking for, the apostle James says, you don't have because you don't ask God. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So in other words, if we're praying, oh Lord, I want to win the lottery, there's no guarantee that that prayer will be answered. Also, there may be things that we just get wrong. We misunderstand what God's will is for us. When we pray, God promises to answer, but he says, and it's just over the page, is how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So sometimes God will say the answer to the prayer will be no. Just like with a parent. If a couple of two-year-olds pick up carving knives because they want to have a sword fight, the parent might say no. In fact, you'd hope that the parent would say no. Not because they don't love the child. It's just because they do love the child. That they know a little bit more than the two-year-old knows. And they know that's not a good idea. And God sometimes says, wait. But sometimes he says, no. If, as John Stott puts it, if the things are not good in themselves, or not good for us or for others, directly or indirectly, immediately or ultimately. Sometimes, certainly in my own experience, we do understand later why he said no. I can think of a couple of things in my life where I have prayed desperately. I've just prayed and prayed and prayed, mainly to do with a job, my work. I can think of times when I prayed and prayed and prayed for a particular job or a particular place at university to enable me to do something. And both those times, God shut the door. And now when I look back, I am so glad that he did shut those doors. Because if he hadn't shut those doors, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now. Now, you may wish he hadn't shut those doors. But I personally love what I'm doing now. And I'm so thankful to him for shutting those doors. I think sometimes in terms of relationships as well, he shuts doors. I heard that Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, who's been happily married to Billy Graham now for over 50 years, she told an audience in Minneapolis, she said, God has not always answered my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times. So sometimes we'll look back and understand why God didn't answer that particular prayer in the way that we had hoped he would. But I think sometimes we're never going to know in this life why he didn't answer the prayer in the way that we'd hoped. I think of an occasion a few years ago when one of my very closest friends, Mick Hawkins, aged 42. We were playing squash together. He played a fantastic forehand shot. He turned to play the backhand and he just dropped dead of a heart attack. And he was one of my closest friends. He had 6 children, one of whom actually is helping on this course tonight. And at that moment, I have never cried out to God more than I cried out at that moment, that God would heal him, bring him back to life, that he would not die. But he did. And I don't know why. I remember the 5 o'clock the following morning. Obviously, I couldn't sleep. I went out on the beach and I was walking along the beach and I was crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, I just cannot understand why you allowed this to happen. But I said, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to carry on trusting you for the rest of my life, even though I don't understand. And as I look back in my prayer diary over the years, there are some prayers that are still unticked, unanswered. But there are loads more that have been answered. So how do we pray? Prayer is a relationship. There's no set of rules in a relationship. All relationships are different. I suppose one key thing is honesty. God wants us to be honest with him, to say what really is on our heart, not to come with kind of religious jargon and stuff, but he really wants to know what's on our hearts. He wants us to be real with him. So there's no set pattern, but sometimes it's help. Like just sometimes, like in a meeting, it's good to have an agenda. And in meeting with God, sometimes it's good to have a kind of agenda. Not that you always stick to that, but a kind of pattern. When I started to pray, I used to use the acronym ACT. That stands for A, for adoration. Just worshipping God, expressing our love, our praise to God. C is for confession, asking forgiveness for the things that maybe we've done wrong and things that we need cleansing for. T is for thanksgiving, thanking God for all his blessings, all the good things that he's given us. Maybe looking back through the day before and thanking him for answered prayer. And then supplication, which is asking for things for ourselves and for others. If you want to know more about that, there's a little bit about that in the little booklet, Why Jesus.
Why and how do I pray? Today's topic, addressed by Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course. And we'll continue with this presentation tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment of an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast on Great News Radio was produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. I certainly appreciated today's topic, and I've used ACTS before. Actually, I still use it from time to time. I do one that's also called PRAYERS, an acronym that I use addressing praising God, repentance, adoration, yesterday thanking him for the things from the day before, extending an invitation for the Holy Spirit, requests, singing a new song. I hope you were encouraged by today's broadcast. And if you'd like to talk to a trained counselor that can begin that prayer life with Almighty God, dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and these are great people that would love to talk with you about how to pray, how to have a relationship with God, and answer any questions about taking steps on that faith journey. We'll continue with How Can I Be Sure of My Faith tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And once broadcast, that program will be archived at greatnewsradio.org. In case you can't tune in at 7:32 a.m. or p.m. Central Time, that's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. Just stop by our website and listen online. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.